What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Bryce Crawford Podcast. I'm Bryce. Today, we have first guest on.
Holla at me.
This is one of my best friends, roommate, just an incredible human being, Tanner Lozon. Really excited to have you on.
Yeah, I'm excited too. This is my debut of the podcast realm. Four podcasts have not worked out, and now I'm here. Not for this, but in general.
Just in general.
I just started Google Calendars because I'm not very good at it.
Are you even speaking English right now?
Am I?
I don't think so.
So basically, I double book myself a lot, and I've had a lot of times where I'm supposed to talk on a podcast.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then I realized that I can't because I booked myself on a camping trip once, and I booked myself to do a podcast, and I had no service.
Because I know you've been asked to be on a few ones, but you just haven't been on them yet.
No.
Dang. Shoot.
Yeah.
Well, glad you're on ours first.
Amen.
Let's go. I'm actually really excited about this episode because we're talking about the love of the Father.
Yeah.
The love of God. I think it's super cool. And I thought there'd be no better person to talk about this with than Tanner. Tanner's also our first guest. We're going to have more guests on, but I just think it's super fitting. And Tanner just, his life testifies to Jesus. So it's going to be fun. But Tanner, we first met right after I got saved.
Yeah.
In Atlanta. I'm from Georgia. And right after I got saved, one of my friends, Emma Kate, DM'd me on Instagram and said, "Hey, there's a few Christians meeting up at a house. You should come over. They talk about Jesus on the internet." So I go over there, and there's like 80 people at this house. It wasn't like a few. There was like 80 people. Yeah. And so I said hey to everyone. But I actually said hey to Tanner briefly. That's where like me and Tanner met. But we didn't talk much.
No, I was intimidated of you.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm not that intimidating.
Well, when I first met you, I thought you were. I mean, I struggled a lot, like, mentally, you know? So I was like, oh, this kid thinks he's all that.
Dude, you're like, that's what Garrett Pryor thought, too. Our friend Garrett thought the same thing, but Garrett's, like, so scary if you don't know him, which didn't make sense. But
we also didn't talk.
Yeah, we also didn't talk. You're right. You just never know people's heart until you, like, actually get to talk to them. So we didn't talk, and then we went on the Kentucky trip. And then that was where we went on a trip like 5 months later, and Tanner and I actually got to know each other there. We were roommates in that hotel. It was me, you, Logan Osby, and Caleb Conley, which is wild.
That was a group.
So fun. But Tanner and I we have similar stories and aspects of stories. Our stories aren't the same, but we have just similar aspects or like things like that in our stories, and Tanner and I really connected and bonded. And so I think one thing that Tanner and I are like really passionate about is the love of the Father, love of Jesus, and something that Tanner and I are constantly trying to learn and actually receive. I know I have a hard time receiving love from people. Yeah. I guess, you know, feeling like undeserving of love.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you ever feel like you're undeserving of love? I don't mean just like undeserving of Jesus' love. I feel like you tend to love people really well.
Yeah.
A lot. You love people really well.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that comes from my desire to be loved.
Dang.
So a lot of times I know how I want to be loved. And I think that's why you and I became so close so fast, is because we both had that, and we would give legit anything for anyone. Like, I grew up in a lifestyle where if someone's your homeboy or in your community, like, you will die for them. But when I became a Christian, it was this new nuance where it's like, oh, my flesh now dies for people, and I get to serve them in the spirit. But with you, it's like, it's always been this, me and you do it together. And so I think that's why we got close together, is because it just, in all realness, it didn't feel like we were getting that same love back from people.
Right.
That's no hate to any of our friends, but it was just like, we do love in a, it's like a waterfall. We just love so much. And sometimes, a lot of times it does come from, for my heart, it did come a lot from the start of, like, me wanting that love myself, you know?
Yeah. I really feel like in 1 John, when it says, anyone who's not know love does not know God, because God is love.
Yeah.
And I feel like on this journey, as we've grown, because we've both grown a lot exponentially, I think times on trips that I've been healed a lot from lacks of love, God's actually used you to, like, love me and embrace me in that, you know? And so I think when I imagine why we love, because God is love and we know love, I know that you know love. Wow. Because I watch how you live your life. I watch how you interact. I watch how with other people. I watch how patient you are. And I just watch how consumed you are by other guys. Literally, Tanner's Bible, he has multiple Bibles that are just like covered in notes and highlighters. Not saying that, you know, I know plenty of people that know the word that don't mark up their Bibles. That's not what I'm saying. But Tanner just absorbs the word and is hungry for the word.
Yeah.
So I think it's really, really encouraging. Where do you think you're at right now learning about love? Because me and you talked the other night in the kitchen about how we're having a hard time, like, receiving love and, like, trusting people's word, even though they haven't given us a reason to not trust them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, how are you, where are you at with that right now?
Yeah, so my basis for everything is, not everything, but for love is 1 Corinthians 13. It's this beautiful passage where it talks about what love is. And I think that in this world, we've created the stigma of what we think love is, but we don't actually know what it is because we're making it ourselves and it becomes our own truth instead of one absolute truth. And so I encourage you, if you're striving to figure out what love or trust is, read 1 Corinthians 13, because that is the only way to actually see what love is, because it is words that have been written for 2,000 years that have not changed.
Shoot.
And so with it, that is our foundation of love. So when I had that revelation a while ago, I reread it a few months ago and I reread it again. And I saw this one portion that stuck out. It says, love hopes all things. Mm. And that changed me, because a lot of times, like, I believe the Lord has given me a heavy spirit of discernment. But sometimes I allow that to stop or to hinder me from seeing someone rightly.
Right.
Because I'm like, oh, they did this. Like, they need correction. But really, the Lord is like, okay, well, even if they did this, love hopes all things. So let's hope that it is actually for the glory of God instead. Yeah. And so something that has actually changed me since that conversation is there's been times in the last week, like I just started formulating this new friend group in LA. Like, we play pickleball and volleyball and all of these things together. And every single time we hang out, I can feel the hope of God in all things.
Wow.
It's like just how we do everyday life together. I can feel how love hopes all things. And it's really changed me, because I've realized, even as I'm doing ministry with friends, how I haven't done that.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, if I believe that this is love, then I also have to do this.
Yeah.
Like, love is the action of doing those things. Right. It's not just the words written.
Shoot.
And so that's kind of where my heart has been, is acknowledging what it says first and foremost, and then activating it into my own heart.
Dang.
So it's like, I can grow in it by knowing, like, let's say you do something to me and it hurts me. This is something we've been going through a lot, is where Bryce hasn't initially done something wrong, but a conversation has arisen in the last few months, like four times probably, where I've just been like, hey, Bryce, I'm really hurting this. And his first response isn't, well, you did this wrong, or you did this wrong. He just sits and asks me questions and gets my mind thinking. And then at one point he says something and it's like, oh, it all comes together. It's like a puzzle piece, because he hoped the best in me and I'm hoping the best in him.
Yeah.
And then we coincide together, and it's like love permeates every bad thing out. It burns all of the bad portions out and literally fills both of our hearts with love, because we're just hoping all things in each other.
Right.
You know, does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. You actually convicted me when you said that, because I feel like as a human being, our minds go to like the immediate extreme.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they don't like, oh, so-and-so doesn't want me to be around, or they're talking bad about me because of this, or like this isn't that. But when you said love hopes all things, I'm like, dang, that makes me think 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrong.
Yeah.
So why does my initial reaction go to make a list of someone's wrongs, when in reality we don't even know. We don't know their heart or why they're doing things.
Yeah.
And I also, thank you for saying that. That's actually really encouraging. I've been really convicted in James 1, verse 19, where he's like, let us be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, because the anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God. And I feel like that's where, you know, a lot of people don't let love come in, people are more worried about themselves being right, instead of like humbling themselves down and accepting that they could be wrong and meeting someone where they're at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that makes total sense. You really convicted me when you said love hopes all things.
Yeah.
Because that's a total shift in perspective.
Literally.
People literally don't hope a lot of stuff. Yeah. Most people, like, even I'm, ever since you've said that, I catch myself and start to hope and be grateful for the things, like, for example, like, if someone were to say something to me, my first immediate thing would be, okay, I got to stop. I got to hope all things, believe the best in their situation. But one thing that actually has helped me hope all things in people is be grateful for what they've done in the past for me.
Wow.
About how their character has testified to that they love like Jesus and go, okay, they've loved like Jesus in the past, so I'm going to hope in the Holy Spirit in them. I'm going to believe in the Holy Spirit in them.
Yeah.
Right? We've been talking about that a lot in the past month, is like, I want to believe in the Holy Spirit in people.
That's fire.
And that even goes for, like, when people are talking bad about, like, oh, this preacher, like, did this thing. He definitely means it in a negative connotation. Or, why did this guy say this on stage? He didn't mean it. It's like, well, you know, things get taken out of context. A 15-second video clip doesn't justify the character or the heart of a human being.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So I think that's been super fun.
Yeah.
What do you think has been a pivotal aspect of Jesus? Like, how has Jesus healed your heart in areas of, like, being loved?
Yeah.
How's that?
Before I answer that, I had this really cool picture just come to mind as you were talking of two things. The first thing, I've thought about this numerous times, but this is a different way I've thought about it. I love talking about how we're the body of Christ. But I thought about how, let's say I saw a 15-second clip of you and I started ridiculing you in my mind. How foolish is that? Because let's say you're my hand because you're the body. It's literally as if I'm trying to break my hand in half.
Whoa.
So I'm literally inflicting pain on myself by ridiculing you and by coming against you.
Whoa.
And by talking poorly about you.
Wow.
And so me doing that is literally breaking my own self. When you talk poorly about the church, the bride of the lamb, the bride of the bridegroom, you are literally ridiculing and breaking your own arm off.
Shaming yourself.
Whoa. It's not just shaming another person. It's shaming the entirety, which is shaming yourself, which then, it, even worse, is shaming Christ himself.
Wow.
And why I believe that is the case is because I was thinking about a father. I just think about, I like to, when I think about a father, I think about what I would do as a father. And my first reaction is, let's say my kid is out late. I hope that it's because he's just with his friends or she's just with his friends. I'm not going to anticipate and expect him to be doing drugs or getting into fights or doing the things that I used to do. Mm. I'm going to hope that he learned from me. And that's what Jesus does. Like, he never expects us to sin. That's why he gives us a new conscience and a new mind, is because he's like, oh, actually, I hope and I expect that you'll do better because you know me now and you've learned from me. And so I just want to touch on that before
that's fire.
The next thing. Remind me what the question was.
Yeah, just how has Jesus healed your heart and being able to love and receive love?
Dude, yeah, just, oh man, so many ways. Like, I was talking about it. It was the first time I've shared this, but I was talking about it with you two, Bryce and Josh. But sometimes I just look at my Bible and I start smiling and I just hug it because I'm like, yo, this thing is like, it just changed my life, you know?
Yeah.
But with it, a huge reason a huge way the love of Jesus has changed my life is the healing power of the name of Jesus, but not in the way that we normally see it, in my soul instead. So, like, if you know any portion of my story, a big part of my story is, up until September, I was like a borderline sociopath, like did not have any emotions besides sorrow. And prior to knowing Jesus, all I had was anger. Like, if any of my old friends watch this, they can testify all day saying I was the most angry person they probably knew. I legit hated people. I hated myself. I hated this world. And so when I first met Jesus, like, my heart changed. All I want to do is hug people. I say this all the time, and I really mean it. I love hugging homeless people. Like, it moves my heart, because I'm like, I just remember when I was going through things, and when I was sleeping under park benches and stuff, when things were really hard at home, I just wanted a hug. And I think about, that was the first initiative where the Lord really changed my heart. The second one was, I never thought I was going to ever experience happiness. I literally believed this lie from the enemy that told me that God gave me a power to speak wisdom through my sorrow. Mm-hmm. And he told me that I couldn't be happy, that I had to experience sorrow to understand wisdom, because I took that from Ecclesiastes 1:18, which is way out of context, where it says the more wisdom, the more sorrow. Mm-hmm. But really what that means is the more wisdom you have of this, of the word of God, the more you'll understand the weight of the cross. You'll understand the suffering son aspect of the cross. And with that, why I bring that up is because in September I was just on this trip with two of my closest friends, and the Lord just showed me how happy he is at all times and how he wanted my heart to experience it. And praise the Lamb, like, I actually still get to heal through that. It's interesting because I took a great step forward, but now it feels like in the world's eyes, I've taken a step back, because now I'm in like worship settings and I just sit there and I feel no emotions,
right?
But it's because I know my heart is healing in these beautiful ways.
That's good.
Because now I'm open to admitting, like, oh wow, I actually deserve happiness because my father is happy with me.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes so much sense, bro. That's so good. I feel like a lot of people kind of count themselves out when they don't feel anything in worship. Yeah. But like, I feel like a lot of times there was a season when I was just reading the word where I felt like I couldn't remember anything when I was reading it. And I called my mentor and he was like, maybe you're just in a feasting season where God's just writing everything on the tablet of your heart, you know, even though I couldn't feel anything. So I think there's a lot of power and freedom to what you just said.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you guys feel like you can't always feel something in worship, number one, praise God, it's not about you. You know, I've been really convicted about going to church and going to worship to actually offer something up to God instead of consuming.
Yeah.
So I think that's really, really good.
Yeah.
I was telling you a little bit last night, like, I went to that worship night at Mosaic Church.
Yeah.
And I was just getting touched because I was really, I felt like this thing in my heart where I was frustrated, and I started praying and I was like, God, I feel like I'm just loving and giving, and I'm getting nothing in return. You know, I'm like, loving, I feel like that's what it is. And Jesus literally speaks to me so clearly and says, what do you think I did for you? He's like, I got my back ripped, pierced in my thing, like pierced, like beaten, stripped naked in front of everyone, knowing that there were going to be people that walked away and didn't love me the same I love them.
Wow.
I mean, there's you know, no record of anyone like getting on their knees and going like, Jesus, I owe you my life for what he did in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, that's happening. And so I've been really convicted, like, how easy is it for people to only love people or like, you know, that thing where it's like, I match people's energy.
Yeah.
It's like, you give me that energy, I'll give you that energy. And that's like, people are like, I only love people the amount that they love me. And I've been getting convicted by that, because that's not kingdom.
No.
That's not kingdom at all. Like, it's easy to feel that way of going, oh, okay, they're only just loving me a little bit, so I'm only going to love them a little bit. But that's conditional love.
Yeah.
And I'm actually not showing that person the heart of the Father if I'm like, I'm going to match their energy, I'm going to love them the way that they're loving me. It's like, no, I actually want to outserve them. I want to outlove them, not because I'm trying to get something from them, but because I'm trying to show the heart of the Father. And I've been getting really rocked by that.
Yeah.
Because it's like a fleshly thing. Like, our flesh is going to be like, hey, you should do this thing. You should love them the same way. You should do that thing. But I think it's so cool, because as we're reading the word and stuff like that, I know we had a conversation last week where we both were like, in the same day, we're like, we actually got tempted with this same thing in our flesh.
Wow.
But we were actually able to not bite the apple of temptation because of the renewal of the mind, and because we know that we're sons and we're free and we're clean by the blood, and that's just not who we are anymore.
Yeah. You know what's nuts about this? I said this. This is going to be bold, and people got really mad at me the first time I said this, and I just praise the Lamb, because I really mean it. When I first became a Christian, everyone told me it was like going to be the hardest thing ever, and it was. But with that, I realized that there's this dichotomy where it's actually the easiest thing in the world at the same time.
Whoa.
I really realized that loving people is so much easier than hating. Loving people is so much easier than becoming anxious. Mm. Loving people is so much easier than getting angry, because it is the thing that our souls were meant to do. And so with that, our fleshly thought is, well, you know, God says that it's going to be hard and that persecution is going to come. But there is not one single text, manuscript from Paul, from James, from Peter, from Timothy that says that they didn't count it joy. They desired to literally die for God. They were happy to die for God. And for some reason, I posted this probably 3 months ago, and I got like literally probably 500 hate comments from Christians, like more hate than I get from atheists. of how I was wrong for saying that it's easy to live for Jesus. But I really believe once you have the mind of Christ, once you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you renew your mind daily, you continue to talk to him, it becomes easy because you're doing what your soul was meant to do from the start.
Right.
And it's to love. And with what you said earlier, just remembrance, I want to give you a Bible to that. I love Jewish culture. I think that a big thing that we lack in America is studying what the Bible was from the start. And that's Jewish culture. That's understanding the Hebrew and the Greek. And with that, something that the Israelites did every time they had a great war, they had victory. Every time they accomplished something or had freedom from something is they would put up a pillar of remembrance. And mm-hmm. so every time they would be in that region, they would see it and they would remember and they would rejoice. And 3 million Israelites would come together and just sing Kumbaya, basically tapping on tambourines, waving flags and be like, this is what the Lord has done. And something beautiful about Israelite culture and Jewish culture is they still to this day walk circular instead of linear.
Yep.
And so with it, in America, we're taught, okay, after you get a job, you're going to work up to get that promotion. After you get the promotion, you're going to get to CEO position. And you work in this linear. But with the Israelites, that's why they have hundreds of feasts, is because they always go back to what they had from the start.
They always remember.
And what's crazy about that is the only reason we have history is
because
of circular reasoning, of going back to what was the start. And so with it, it's like, one of the biggest things that I tell people, I've been saying recently, is it's okay. It's super simple. Repent, believe the gospel, and go back to what Jesus did.
Dang.
So every day I wake up. I've been trying to do this every day. Right when I wake up, I get up for a second. I lay back down, but kneeling on my face. And I say, Lord, I repent for anything that the enemy is going to come against me. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I testify what he's done in my life. I say, I remember what I went through. I remember the thoughts I had before knowing you. Mm. I remember the hate I had in my heart. Mm. And I say, it's yours now. I receive your love. I receive your mercy and your grace, and you have your way today.
That's good. He's not kidding, by the way. I get up really early in the morning to let the dog out, and when I come in, he's under his covers on his hands and knees doing this. He's not kidding. And that's so good, bro. Literally remembering every time I get in my head or I'm in that state where like, oh, I can't feel God, I actually think about that, how Israel reflects on the past. And I go, okay, I'm going to remember what God's done in my life and how Revelation says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Yeah. And so not only when we share our testimony, it impregnates the air for that very thing to happen again in someone else's life with more power.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I want to remember what God has done and believe that he's going to do it again. And that is the heart of the Father, is to take care of his children and do things again in people's lives.
Yeah.
Because what does James says? He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God and he'll give it to you. But he says, ask without doubting.
Yeah.
So I want to believe that God is going to do things in other people's lives without doubting, because he's going to pull through, and he's shown through history and time that he's going to do it and that he has done it. Why wouldn't he do it again?
Yeah.
God literally can't go back on that. That's the heart of the Father.
God doesn't change.
He doesn't change. He takes care of his children.
Yeah.
He can't contradict himself. And I think that goes to show his love when you look at the Abrahamic covenant.
Yeah.
When he literally shreds those animals in half and doesn't make Abraham stand in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And God standing in between two split animals goes, if I go back on my word, you can do to me what you just did to these animals, but I'm actually not going to hold you accountable because I know I can't go back on my word, so just let me do my thing.
Isn't that nuts that it was his joy from the start. He planned from the start to do that.
Crazy, you know? Bro.
Like he always wanted to do it so that we could come into covenant with him.
Right.
But for some reason we got indoctrinated with this thought of that our way to God is through the law, creating our own ladder when he was the ladder from the start.
Right.
Like he is Jacob's ladder. There's a reason for that. Mm. And it's so beautiful, because that's why I say it's easy to follow Jesus, is because all you have to do is say, hey, Jesus, take over my life, take over my ways. And it's literally as if over time you hear his thoughts throughout the day. Mm. Like you hear his voice throughout the day. It's literally, you just know your best friends, you know your brothers, you know your sisters, you know their voice. And so with it, I just find it so beautiful, because the more time I spend with Jesus on my face, the more I understand that he's the one that went all the more far from me.
Yep.
And yet he draws the closest to me.
Yep.
You know?
That's so good.
It's just so beautiful.
That is beautiful. Well, I think one thing that has actually allowed me, I remember when I first became a Christian, like trying to understand like the love of Jesus, was because I had this finite perspective. Oops, I got a call. You want to answer that for me? Sorry, we're not going to cut this out of the podcast. Thank you, bro. I don't know who that is. Is I had this finite perspective of love where I was thinking about what the world says is love, you know, sex, yeah. Love of money, maybe loving the same sex. Maybe it's all these different things that people described as love.
Yeah.
And so because those things let people down, I assumed that God's love would let me down.
Wow.
Right. Jeez. And then you look at that and you say, okay, well, this must be what God's love is, but it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, the Hebrew word for God's love is ahava. It means to lay your life down for someone. That's crazy that they had to make separate words for the love of God, because it was uncomparable to anything else. Jeez. And so when I look at that and I go, okay, God's love is anything compared to what I do, then I'm not even going to try to assume or try to comprehend what God's love is. Yeah. And I think that's what makes him so holy, is the fact that I don't fully understand what his love looks like.
Yeah.
And so when God does things in my life or other people's life that I'm just like, I don't think that's loving, who am I to say that what God does isn't loving?
Oh, wow.
Because I don't know him, and I'm not God, and I'm just a finite being living in a finite world. And he lives outside of time and is all powerful and all knowing.
Wow.
And so I think that's brought me so much freedom, is going, okay, I actually don't really know fully what God's love is, but I know that he loves me.
Yeah.
I'm his child. And it's so beautiful how we can't understand fully what the love of God is, but he tries to make it comprehensible to us by taking the form of a man and laying his life down for us.
Wow.
Because I know darn well anyone would believe that they were loved if someone died for them, even if they didn't know them.
You know what's crazy is in this world, in world in general, throughout history, the people that are most well known, the people that we remember the most, are the people that laid down their lives for others.
Dang, bro.
And so isn't, like, you think about it, the people that we can think about, presidents or historical leaders, are the people that laid down their lives for their flock or their kingdom. And it's so intriguing, because like God's language, Hebrew, literally shows that.
Yeah.
That was his intent from the start. Wow. Is the king would come down and suffer as a servant.
Yes.
And it's crazy, because Jesus is the most known person ever to exist in history because of that truth.
Mm.
And it's because he is God, and he shows that is true love, that was what love was from the start. And I find it intriguing, because the biggest thing that I've realized when social media started is people stopped reading and people stopped looking into history.
Whoa.
They stopped reading and they started listening to whatever news was in front of them.
They just believe whatever people tell them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what's so intriguing about that is they're not actually finding the truth, because they are formulating their own love, because they're not founded on what love has been forever, like since time has existed. Cheating has been wrong. Since time has existed, it has always been men and women sacrificing to be together, to then formulate and to work for a family and to build up a family and to build up generations to come. And for some reason now, because I believe the love of Jesus is falling so heavy on people's hearts, there's this new ideology where you can just form your own love, or that you can make your own truth with love. And that has never been the case, never in history.
Right. That's so good, bro. And if everyone has their own version of love, then what even is love?
Literally.
It's the same thing with morality. Everyone's like, if you have your own truth, your truth is true, but that doesn't make sense.
No.
You know, because I could... Sorry, our SD card died. And we had to another one in. But we were just talking about how, you know, there's all these views of love. Jesus was the most well-known man in the world, still is. and he was known for love, but he doesn't compromise. He doesn't adapt to the worldviews. God doesn't go, oh, I'm just going to compromise and adapt to the world because the world is changing and growing. And so, you know, I'm going to do that because that's how I am. No, God is holy and righteous, and he sets the standard for love. Yeah. And so rather than him adapting to our worldview, you know, Proverbs 14 says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So people are like, oh, God should adapt. God's going to do that. No, God is righteous and holy and just. He's not changing.
Yeah.
It says, although the earth may pass away, his word remains the same. His word has remained the same. And so when we look at that, I say God's love isn't compromised. Love stands in the way of evil.
Yeah.
So when there are people that have different views of love, it's not that God's condemning them. God is just trying to point them into the truth, what the truth is. It's not condemnation. I think people get condemnation and conviction mixed up, you know. They get convicted, but they, you know, get frustrated and angry, and they say, oh, God's condemning me. God doesn't love me, and this and that. And it's like, well, no, he actually does love you. Yeah. He has an original design for your life.
Yeah.
He's actually trying to point you to that original design. So I guess I didn't realize how long this podcast was, but to end this podcast, if you could encourage people on one way that they could receive the love of the Father,
yeah.
You know, because a lot of people, you know, maybe they haven't been loved well, so maybe they feel like God can't love them well. Or how would you encourage people to receive the love of the Father?
Yeah, that's a good question. Can I be real?
Yeah.
Repent from pride, because that's the biggest thing that separates us from the love of God is ourselves.
Mm.
And say, Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Change my heart. And I encourage you to close your eyes. I used to do this every single day for hours. I would sit in my closet when I had like legit no one back when I lived at home when I first became a Christian. I would sit in my closet with my eyes closed, just weeping. I would say, God, I have nothing. I have no one. I need you to come.
Mm.
And I would sit there. And I would wait till he would show up.
Wow.
And every time I waited, whether it was 20 minutes or legit 6 hours, he would meet me.
That's right.
And it wasn't like this emotional thing. It was like sometimes there would literally be an atmosphere where I could feel the presence of God through my soul. It wasn't like this. I don't know how to describe it. It wasn't always this thing in my stomach or like these chills. It was your soul just knows when God's in the room.
Right.
And so I encourage you to be willing to take as long as you need to sit with the Lord.
Good.
It'll change your life, because then you'll realize he's meeting you all day, every day.
Mm.
You'll realize that he's wanting to show you his love every single step in every single moment of every day.
That's so good.
So I encourage you to, number one, repent, believe the gospel is true. I feel like we've heard that a lot, and yeah. It's become this like, thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to bring it back as truth and love. Like, that's what it was meant to be. It's in the Bible, you
right.
know?
Right.
And so, really, ask the Lord to change our hearts and say, God, man, maybe I have a wrong view of you. Maybe I have a wrong lens. Lord, please take it away.
That's really
and good. I allow you. I say, all my barriers are gone. I allow you to come into my heart, have your way, and let this Holy Spirit of fire literally burn away and dissipate every wrong thing, every wrong ideology, every wrong thought, every prideful thought away, and let love overflow into your heart, soul, and mind.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah, guys, crazy podcasts on the love of the Father. I think it's so powerful. If we're not able to receive the love of the Father, then how will we be able to properly display his love to other people and his children?
Wow.
Tanner, thanks for talking about it. I know you'll be on a bunch of podcast episodes because we live together and it's easy. Yeah. But also,
I'll
Tanner's
think about
just.
It.
So, all right, whatever. Well, we're going to pray real quick and just ask God to just soften your guys' hearts and actually embrace you with his liquid love.
Wow.
So, Jesus, we just pray right now for anyone watching and listening to this podcast episode. Would you just soften their heart to the reality of who you are? God, would you just actually reveal yourself and reveal your love to people as they're watching and listening to this right now? God, would you meet with people when they meet with you? Your word says you will seek me and find me when we seek you with our whole heart.
Yeah.
So God, right now, will you just allow us to seek you with all of us, everything in us, God. We just want to seek you. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for everyone watching and listening to this. Bless them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Tanner, thanks so much for coming on. Guys, if you guys enjoyed this podcast, subscribe to us on the Bryce Crawford YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Bryce Crawford Podcast. We're on Spotify and Apple as well. And if you guys want to support what we're doing, you guys probably this whole time have been like, whoa, they've got on the nicest, most comfortable, beautiful shirts I've ever seen in my life. But you can get them at JesusInTheStreet.com. Go get them. Support what we're doing. It keeps us in motion. Love you guys, and we'll see you guys next time.